Let me give you the title of my message this morning. It's called, What Are You Full Of? What are you full of this morning? Turn to the person next to you, ask them, What are you full of this morning? What are you full of? What are you full of? How many of you have ever been a part of VBS before? Raise your hand loud and proud. How many of you have ever been a part of VBS? Maybe you attended VBS at one point in your life. I know I would give anything to go back to those good old days, right? At VBS, Vacation Bible School, if you didn't know what that stood for. Man, we had a blast this past year at VBS. It was absolutely incredible. How many of you were a part of last year's VBS, 2018? Game on, right? Game on. That's what we're here to do this morning, right? Game on. If you could go to that next slide for me. So during this VBS, we had a BGMC giving challenge for our kids. And if you don't know what BGMC stands for, you're like, what's BGMC? It's Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, right? And we challenged our students to give $300, okay? You know, like, oh, that's not so much. Well, to kids, I mean, that's a lot of money, right? I mean, they think $5 is like, whoa, $5? What? So we challenged our kids to bring $300. So if they brought $300, we made this concession stand smoothie, right? There's some of the ingredients here, but there's some that's been left out. I just want to enlighten you this morning, okay? There was nachos with cheese and good old pickled jalapenos. I mean, yeah, come on. Pretzels, you got chili dogs, not in there is ketchup, mustard, relish. I mean, you're relish fans, no? We got root beer thrown in there, some jerky, licorice, popcorn, peanuts, cotton candy. Oh, the best part, there was some expired sauerkraut in the fridge, and so we just threw that in there, come on. This stuff's sounding pretty good right about now. You're like, when is lunch? Like, because I need to go settle my stomach. So this was what we made. Pastor Harvey, oh, he's such a great sport. You know, he volunteered to, you know, all right, if our kids raise $300, I will drink this concession stand smoothie. I said, okay, cool, cool. And then we said, okay, well, let's up the stakes, because this doesn't seem like intense enough, right? There needs to be some skin in the game. So Donna said, okay, if they raise $400, I'll drink it. I said, okay, Donna, I see you. So then they were like, what about you, Pastor Jesse? You going to jump in on this? I was like, yeah, full of myself, full of pride. Yeah, of course. If they raise $500, guys, I will drink that concession stand smoothie. All right, okay. They raised over $600, guys. I was like, I thought they were pranking me at first. They were like, yeah, they raised over $600. I was like, get out of here, man. There's no way I'm drinking that stuff. It's like, no, you're a man of your word, right? Like, oh, yeah, I'll drink it, okay. So it was... They blended it all up, right? And they gave me the first batch, which is always the chunkiest. Like, I said, okay, here, thank you. Appreciate that. As you can see, maybe you can't see it, it's far away. I should have blown these pictures up, but man, if you look at these, I wish you could see it. Yeah. Look at the coloring. You see the coloring, you're like, that can't be good. That can't be good for you or your health. Going forward from this. So they gave me the first batch, super chunky. It was like if someone threw up in a cup and then were like, drink this. That's literally, okay, I kid you not, guys. You think I'm telling a joke here? I'm not. This was one of the most traumatizing experiences of my life. Every time I think about this experience, my stomach, I actually start to get a little sick. Like, it really is that bad. I mean, it was so bad. I kid you not. This was... You know, if you know my story, I dealt with a lot of drugs and alcohol, and God brought me from amazing things. That was not even compared to this. This was bottom of the barrel of my life, right here. Okay? I couldn't even get it down. Like, I had to grab some root beer that was still left on the table and wash it down. And I still couldn't hardly get it down. I even, like, blew some chunks into the trash can there. And meanwhile, while this is going on, like, parents are picking up their kids because I've gone too long. Like, Harvey and Don are already done, guys. Like, I'm the only one left up there. Parents are just, like, getting their kids, like, okay, good job, honey. Good job raising that money. Let's get out of here. Like, I'm getting sick. So I finally finished it, and everything felt fine. Okay, the storm had calmed, and it was like 6 p.m., 7 p.m. that night, and something just wasn't right, guys. Something wasn't right. I'm telling you, like, the water started, you know, moving again, and, like, I didn't make it to the bathroom, guys. I'm just telling you. I did not make it to the bathroom. I sprayed our kitchen floor. And then, I mean, again, then barely made it to the toilet. I mean, that's never a pretty sight, right? Someone hurtled over the toilet. Okay, done with the story? How many of you are done with the story? You're like, please move on in Jesus' name. Okay. So now bear with me. Okay. Moving on. It's a great time, but good times. Bear with me now. This story is really similar to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Yeah, what? Yeah, this story is really similar to the Holy Spirit. What comes out of us is usually what we're full of, right? What comes out of us is usually a good telling of what we're full of. And if what comes out of us is anger and bitterness, it's a pretty good indication that we're full of anger and bitterness. If what comes out of us is hate, then there's a good chance that we're full of hate, right? I mean, so if on the flip side, if what comes out of us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., I mean, those are the fruit of the Spirit that we're filled with, right? I mean, so if you've claimed Jesus as your Savior and ruler of your life, Scripture teaches us that you have the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. Now, the sad part is there are many people, especially people in the church world today, that they don't even allow the Holy Spirit, yet they have Him. They don't allow Him to change and affect their lives, which is really crazy to me because the Holy Spirit is God in us, the all-powerful, all-knowing, create everything. He conquered death. The miracles that you read about in the Bible, that's Him. He lives inside of you. Right? I mean, it's sad to me when we accept Jesus or when someone accepts Jesus and we receive the Holy Spirit and they don't allow Him to really change and affect all the different areas of their life. Right? I mean, so for many of us, if I were to ask you, okay, if you could have Jesus, the Jesus, physically with you this morning in worship, raising your hand, you know, praising you, as Amos is up here just like rocking out, right? Like Jesus right here physically with you. Or the Holy Spirit, God inside you. Who would you choose? Right? Who would you choose? Yeah, I mean, I'd be like, both? Like, hello? Is this a trick question? I know for many of us, maybe some of us in this room, maybe other people outside this room, maybe many of us might choose, like, yeah, Jesus. I mean, come on, it's Jesus. Like, who wouldn't want Jesus physically here with you, right? But Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who said, hey, look, guys, I got to go, but I'm sending you a helper, right? The helper is much better for you. And I'm like, okay. Well, I guess we better trust Jesus. I guess we better take Him at His word and trust that the Holy Spirit within us is better than Jesus walking right next to us, right? And so wow, that changes things. That's a shift in perspective. Like, okay, well, since the Holy Spirit in us is incredibly, so much more incredibly better, and I want to be a part of that. I want to let the Holy Spirit really change and transform who I am from the inside out. The book of Acts, if you ever want to know how the church started or what it looked like as it got up and started going, read this book. Okay, all throughout the book of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit is active and changing lives. I mean, just read through the book of Acts. It's absolutely amazing. The church was on fire, guys, literally, tongues of fire. The church was absolutely exploding. And the same Holy Spirit, okay, that same Holy Spirit described in that book and in those stories is the same one that dwells and moves today, right here, right now, this morning. All right? So that should be like, okay, my blood's boiling a little bit. Like, let's, come on. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that, I mean, but why don't we ever feel that way, though? This is the question, right? There's so many things that we can learn about what the Holy Spirit does inside us. But I just want to focus on three tonight, or tonight, three this morning, okay? But still come back tonight at 6 p.m. We're going to be having a great sacred assembly, worship and prayer. We're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit again. It's going to be awesome. So come tonight. But this morning, I want to unpack just three ways that the Holy Spirit can really change us, really transform our perspective, how we approach life, and the different areas of our lives. You guys good with that? Yeah. All right, cool beans. First thing that I really believe that the Holy Spirit does in us, when we allow Him to, is to turn a timid heart into a bold one. If you would go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 2, that's where we're going to be for a moment. Acts chapter 2, we're going to be in 36 through 41. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 41. Most of my students at this point in our youth service, they just hold up their phones. Because how many of you know that this generation and us, if you own a smartphone, you always carry a Bible no matter where you go? Whoa, that's awesome. So Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 41. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, and all who have been called by the Lord our God." How many of you are grateful that the Holy Spirit is for you, your children, your grandchildren, to those who are far away from God, to those who have been called by His name? How many of you, aren't you grateful for that, that the Holy Spirit is for everyone? The Holy Spirit can change and transform any heart, no matter what life that you think is too far gone. No, God can change and transform any life, any heart. And the Holy Spirit is for everyone. It's crazy. Peter goes on. Where was I? I lost my place. Okay, then Peter continued preaching for a long time. It's like, whoa, that's like a long time. That must have been a long church service. But I won't be long this morning, so just so you know. Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. About 3,000 in all. 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus that day. That's one church service, right? Wow. That's pretty impressive. I mean, you know, because you think, you know who preached, right? I mean, Peter went from denying Christ 3 times to preaching at Pentecost. I mean, that's when Pentecost was one big conference. Hello. And 3,000 people got saved. Whoa. And that's Peter, the same guy that denied Jesus 3 times? I mean, Peter was so was once so fearful to the point that, I mean, he denied Jesus even to the point when a little girl came up to him and said, "Hey, you know Jesus?" He said, "I don't know Jesus." I mean, this was Peter. And but with the great power of the Holy Spirit working in his life, Peter became bold to the point of preaching in the name of Jesus in front of a crowd of 3,000 people. That's one heck of a turnaround, right? I mean, power can be used in at least two ways, I think. Power can be used in at least two ways. It can be harnessed or it can be unleashed, right? The energy in 10 gallons of gasoline, how many of you know it can be released with a drop of a lighted match into the can? I mean, it can be released. How many of you love explosions? You watch Die Hard, Mission Impossible, just like, I just need some explosions in my life. You know? No? Okay, maybe that's just me. I'm a youth pastor, what can I say? It's a stereotypical thing. He loves explosions and fast cars. No. Funny, because first service I said, who loves explosions here? And everyone's just kind of like looking at me. But I look back and I catch David Winans. His eyes lit up like a Christmas tree, guys. I was like, David Winans. We were talking after service and he said, you know, back in the day, I went and got a license to be able to set off dynamite. Just because. I was like, just because? David, we're going to have to hang out. Right? Or power can be channeled through the engine of a Honda Civic, right? And transport someone like 350 miles or so. I'm sure it gets probably better MPG than that, but it can be channeled, it can be harnessed, and you know, controlled burns have lasting effect or staying power, right? And the Holy Spirit, which is really cool, Holy Spirit works both ways, right? The Holy Spirit exploded on the scene at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 3, it says that the Holy Spirit, I mean, tongues of fire explosion, right? This was insane. And then, but he also works through the church, you and me, the institution that God began to tap the Holy Spirit's power for the long haul. We're still here today, right? The church that the Acts church, still going. Hello, we're still here. And we're still tapping that power. We still have that staying power that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I pray that you're taking advantage of that, because there is power in the Holy Spirit. And my encouragement to you is, like, walking out those doors today, I hope that you realize that you have more power within you than you realize if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and that you have the Holy Spirit. You have that staying power. You know what? So I just want to ask you a question before we move on. What's in it? What is in you that you want to do for Jesus, right? That you're like, oh, man, I want to do this for Jesus, but maybe you're limited because you're afraid. You're afraid of stepping into what God's calling you to, what God is asking you. Jesse, step here. I've got you. Trust me. I'm faithful. I won't let you down. I've got a pretty good track record. I won't let you down. What's something that God's calling you to that maybe you feel limited because you're afraid, because you're hesitant, you're sidestepping it because you're unsure? Is God really gonna? Could He? Probably. Maybe. I don't. I encourage you to trust God in that, because God's faithful. He will always come through, and you can walk into it with confidence and assurance, because guess what? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Come on. So, many people don't know this about me, but I don't exactly find it thrilling to stand up in front of people. I'm not exactly like chomping at the bit to get up here every single, like in announcements, you think I'm like smooth criminal up here, but no. Like, I'm pretty anxious. I'm not like nervous, like shaking in my boots, but I'm not like, oh, let's, yeah, like, I'm not exactly thrilled to get, because I'm more introverted. How many introverts in the room? Yeah, exactly. If you're an introvert, you'd probably be like, how many extroverts in the room? You're like, yeah, here I am, right? No, I don't want to put extroverts in a box. They're not all like that. But I'm more introverted, and but I know God's called me to preach and teach. I know God has called me to this. So I really believe it's the Holy Spirit in me that allows me to stand up here and share and to preach a message and to give you what God has given to me to give to you. I just believe that the Holy Spirit allows me to do that. Otherwise, I'd probably like run off the stage like a little girl, right? Oh my God. Yeah, that's like my students. I had one student give a testimony, and it was like, it was done in 10 minutes. It was just like, here I am, see ya. Like, anyway, so again, if the Holy Spirit can turn a timid heart like mine into a bold one, there's no doubt, and there's no question in my mind that God can empower you and embolden your heart to do what God's calling you to do. Right? Okay. So, and I just want to share this verse before we move on. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that for God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but God gave us a spirit of power and of love and self-control. So just be encouraged by that no matter what you're facing, God can give you the power. God will give you the power through the Holy Spirit to face it and to overcome it. Second thing that I believe the Holy Spirit does in us is he turns a hardened heart into a passionate one. So I want to look at a story really quick to really paint this picture for you. Go to Acts chapter 9 with me. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. We'll start there and then we'll fast forward to Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 31 in just a second. Now, how many of you know the story of Saul turned Paul? How many know that story? Come on, you guys know that story. I know you do. Okay, but let's recap and let's just read again for funsies, right? Funsies, you like that? It's a youth pastor thing. Okay. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6 says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. That's just how I read it. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. How many of you think we should bring the way back? Yeah, who are you with, the way? I'm like, no, okay. So he wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Okay. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? And the voice replied, I'm Jesus. I am Jesus, the one who you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city. I'm sure Jesus didn't say that. Like, say it in that kind of a tone, but like, now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. All right. Intense. Well, crazy. So let's fast forward. Let's jump to Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 31. Are we doing okay? You guys tracking? You're good? Your coffee's like kicking in right about now. I don't see any sleepy eyes. Okay. Cool beans. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 31 says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. I couldn't imagine why. Oh, it gives us the answer. Oh, look at that. They didn't believe that he had truly become a believer. Can I just be honest? I'd have my reservations as well, guys. I'd be like, okay, no, Saul, really? I think it was kind of a trick or a plan. He's trying to like, whatever, I don't know. I would have my reservations after he was just trying to kill me 5 seconds ago. But then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. When the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. Whoa, that's intense. That's like night and day. Is that the same person being described? That's the same guy, right? I mean, it's so night and day, right? First passage, like, I'm trying to kill you. Like, oh, okay, Saul. Slow your roll. And then second passage, he's like, gee, you know, come, you know, preaching in the name of Jesus. Like, what? Yeah, Paul's conversion, man, his experience on the Damascus Road was such a motivating force in his life. I mean, he was grateful for the gift of grace that he had received. Yeah, on that road, and when Jesus, when he encountered Jesus in a powerful way, and he told everyone that had ears to listen. He told anyone that he came into contact with about his experience, how Jesus had totally changed his life, how 1 second ago he was trying to kill all the Lord's followers. Now he's like, you know, come join the family, man. Come and join the kingdom of God. Come and join the way, right? You know, we too have a story to tell about how God met you, how God changed you and transformed you, how you encountered Jesus on your Damascus Road. You know, we too have a story to tell of how God saved us in the new life, right? We don't ever want to forget that. The new life that we have in Him. What's changed? Right? I always tell my students, I'm like, I always challenge them by saying, like, hey, are you living a life that demands an explanation? And the thought is, are you living a life different than the world? Could someone tell you apart? Could someone be like, why do you do that? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Right? Like, why do you pray in your car, psycho? Like, why are you talking to yourself in the car? No, like, I'm seeking God, right? Like, why does your life demand an explanation? Why do you do those things? God changed me. I've met Jesus tangibly. Really? He's changed my life. And we have a story to tell. And I think the Holy Spirit will give you what you need in the moment where you're in Safeway, when you're in Costco, wherever you're at, when someone asks you, like, why do you do that? Why do you live that way? Why are you so kind? Why are you so... And you can share with boldness because of the Holy Spirit in you. I just think the more we understand about what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf, will be the greater our passion will be to share the gospel, to share what Jesus has done in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, just testing if you're still awake. Hey, we have a great opportunity to go through the Bible with our church this year. If you haven't started, or maybe you're like, what? Join us. You know, it's a great time. You read through the Bible in less than a year, and it's so good because you get to know for yourself, right? Pastor Terry keeps, you know, preaching that, is that, you know, you get to actually know for yourself what the Bible says, what every word from the mouth of God says. And so, man, I would encourage you to take advantage of that, to really spend time in the Scripture, to really, because, hey, guys, I'm just letting you know the Bible's alive, okay? The Bible's not some dead, archaic history book, okay? When you really start to see that the Bible's alive, the Bible's active, I mean, wow. I mean, the Word of God is never changing. It always accomplishes its purposes. It will never come back void. So I would jump in, you know, dive into that. And Because developing a vibrant faith, it does require time and energy and plus a commitment to obey God. And I know, it's like, when I say that, a lot of our students are like, ugh. But hey, you know, it's so worth it. Because what's worth putting in the time, it's going to change you from the inside out. And it's going to be through the Holy Spirit revealing things to you, showing you things like, whoa, that stood out before. I didn't even notice it. And, you know, just all these things that's going to happen. And, you know, regularly, I always have a hard time with that word, regularly. I always have to slow it down, right? Regularly studying the Bible will strengthen your beliefs and give you confidence and courage to speak. When you're talking with other people, you ever had that? Like, I've been in small groups before or something like, Jesse, what do you think? I'm like, you know, but if I'd have been really diving into the Word, if I'd really been like in the Scriptures, like, man, that would have gave me courage to speak and confidence to be like, actually, you know what? What God's been saying to me about that, right? So, and I think caring about others' spiritual well-being, caring about others' spiritual health will move you, propel you into action. You will be like, man, little Johnny, you know, he doesn't know that the Holy Spirit wants to do this in his life, and I got to tell him, you know, right? You know, so you're caring, you're thinking of others, and the Holy Spirit will help you in that. All right, are we ready for the third one? Are we ready for lunch? Amen. All right, okay. You know, hey, third thing, the Holy Spirit. I really believe the Holy Spirit does in us is that He turns a dead heart into an alive one. This is big, guys. I mean, I know it sounds really simple, like, okay, yeah. But it's really big, and I want us to grab hold of it as we close, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I want to read it for you. It says, "The Spirit of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you." Yeah, I've been preaching that anthem all morning long. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Think about that. Jesus was in the tomb. Hey, Easter's coming up. Come on. You know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you when you accept Jesus. I mean, that's, you have like resurrecting power living inside of you. What's in your life that you're like, man, this needs resurrecting right now? Like, hey, Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Amen, right? And so we can approach those things with confidence, knowing that, like, hey, nothing's impossible because Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And the rest of the verse says, just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He'll give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So what does a dead heart consist of, Pastor Jesse? You know, what does a dead heart consist of? Well, for one, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you don't know Jesus at all, well, your heart is spiritually dead by nature of the fact that you just don't know Jesus. That can all change. I mean, you can accept Jesus, accept His free gift that He accomplished on the cross, and that would be forever changed. But it's also possible for believers, for Jesus followers, for people who have accepted Jesus. Yes, Jesus, accept You into my life. For believers to have dead hearts as well. Well, Jesse, how does this happen? Well, it happens when we're selfish, okay? It happens when we are selfish, when we're full of nothing but ourselves. Man, this coffee is really doing a number on me right now. Okay. So, how many of you are married? I mean, married people in the room, put your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care. Okay. Like married people are like, okay. I just see some of you like, okay. But at our house, we drink soda. I know it's bad for you. Judge me, okay? We drink soda. I drink water too. Okay, Kendra would tell you otherwise, but I do. Okay, I have water in that hydro flask sitting on the front pew right there as a testament to my word. Okay, how many of you drink soda, or do you drink pop? Like, you know. Kendra's favorite soda is Cherry Pepsi. Any Cherry Pepsi fans out there? You love Cherry Pepsi? Yeah, a couple of believers in the house. You know, Cherry Pepsi. I'm more of a Sprite guy. You know, hey, Sprite, come on. Sprite, one person. Sprite, come on. Sprite's so good though, right? You got lemon, lime, refreshment. It's pretty much organic, okay? That's... then you just feel it coming down, going down your throat. You just feel refreshed. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit. It's just like, it just renews you. Anyway, so Cherry Pepsi is my favorite, my wife's favorite soda. Okay, so oftentimes I'll drink all my Sprite really quick, okay, because I'm just like, I love Sprite. And so then I'm left like sodaless. And I start having withdrawals. But, and then so Kendra's like, pretty much Sharpies her name right on the box. Like, don't touch these sodas or you're sleeping on the couch. Kind of a message signed Kendra Shea. And so, you know, I'll run out of my Sprites and I'm just like, what's one, right? Come on. I need it. I like, need the caffeine. So I'll just grab one. I'm like, what's one? Come on. And then it's like she knows, like telepathically, that like her Cherry Pepsi senses are tingling. Like one has left the box, you know? And sure enough, she doesn't even have to go and check the fridge. She just comes in like, hey, stop stealing my Cherry Pepsis. I'm like, how did you know? You know, like, but you know, why did I do that? You know what, really, it's because I'm selfish. I just want what I want. I want it right now, right? And, man, you know, it doesn't just have to be small things like Cherry Pepsi and Sprite. It could be, like, with money, or it could be with sex, or it could be with, you fill in the blank, right? You know yourself. I don't have to. So, you know, we can be selfish in so many ways, right? I just want what I want it now, give it to me, give me, give me, give me. And that's the place, and that's the point where we kind of move into that dead heart that I'm talking about, that decaying heart. And we can get that in our relationship with Jesus, too. You know, Jesus is like, hey, I really want you to go talk to this person, encourage him. Like, I got lunch plans, so sorry, Jesus. You know, it's just skirt. But, you know, so we can get selfish in our relationship with Jesus. Doesn't have to be little things. I mean, we can get selfish in just about anything that we can put our minds to because we want what we want. We want it now. And that's a bad place to be because then, you know, you just, like, to paint the picture, Justin Knowles says this, and I think it's just spot on. Says when we're full of ourselves, we can't be filled with anything else. And that's including the Holy Spirit. We want to be a Spirit-filled church, right? Amen. Right? Amen. We want to be a Spirit-filled church. We want to be filled with the Spirit and have that confidence of knowing, like, no matter what comes at me, no matter what comes at our church, we're going to face the devil and smack him in the teeth, right? We're gonna go after, we're gonna raise our children right, we're gonna go after the lost, we're gonna teach our students in the youth ministry about the Holy Spirit and how his power can change their lives, and Pastor Harvey's doing it right now in Wave Makers, and come on, isn't that right? Wave Makers! So, you know, we want to be a Spirit-filled church, but we have to empty ourselves of ourselves. You know, we can't get caught up in, like, I want what I want and I want it now, and my way or the highway, you know, my will be done. And, you know, that kind of a thing, that kind of an attitude, because that's not Jesus. The Holy Spirit cannot exist in that environment. You know, when it's all about us and, you know, whatever, you know, they just don't like me because, like, no, they don't like you because you're prideful. Like, no, that was me. So, But, you know, so we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. We need to empty ourselves of what do you need to empty this morning? You know, that's a good question for yourself and for me too. I mean, what do we need to empty ourselves of this morning so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can be filled with what Jesus wants for us? You don't have to answer out loud, just within yourself. Sometimes I tell my students that, because they're like, oh, right here. I'm like, oh, that's not really, it's a rhetorical. We'll have small groups afterwards. Okay. I just think that, you know, when we're full of our passions and our desires, we just totally are just absent-minded of what God desires for us, the plans that God has for us. You know, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, God has plans for us. We know that, but we totally just like slam the door on them because we're like, my will be done. I want to pursue what I want to pursue. And Jesus, you can like take the back seat. We have to empty ourselves of ourselves so that we can know what God's plans for us are and so that we can walk in them, so we can experience them. And I think that when we lean on the Holy Spirit, man, our hearts become burning, just absolutely on fire for what brings God glory and honor. And that's our goal, right? It's to glorify and magnify Jesus' name. That's what we want. We want to make Jesus known and represent him well so that people can be like, I want that. I need that. I'm done with this. I want Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit. That's what I need. And, you know, when we walk around full of ourselves and full of other stuff, like, people just, like, are turned off by, like, if that's the way that, if that's what your God is, if that's the way Jesus is, like, I don't want any of that. I've had all that, you know, right? So we want to represent Jesus well, and it's about leaning in to what the Holy Spirit wants for our lives. And look, guys, I don't. It doesn't matter how dark, deep, wide, embarrassing, or bad or dark you think your past is. Okay, God can change any heart. God can change any dead heart into a passionate one. I mean, Paul said, like, man, I'm the worst. And God changed me. And God has purposed me. So there's no thing, if the past is what you're worried about, if your past is what you think is holding you back, or what it is holding you back, just totally say, look, because Jesus knows you full well. There's no hiding from Jesus. Jesus knows every part of you. The only person that may know that as well is your spouse. Okay? That's the only other person who probably knows you, every part of you. Every part of you. Fully known. Probably your spouse, most certainly Jesus. And so, what you've done in your past, Jesus was like, hey, I want you. I want, because I see passion in you. But we need to turn that passion from like negative passion into kingdom building passion. And we see that in Paul's story, formerly Saul. And all you have to do, and it's not like, okay, 3-step process and then you get the Holy Spirit. No, you just accept Jesus and his gift that he came so willing to give, right? Christmas is such a great reminder. And I love Christmas because it just reminds me of like the sacrifice that Jesus came to make, to be born in that just nasty, awful, disgusting pig pen for you and me. If that's not picturesque, like God came for you and he was born into the worst for you and for me because he loved you that much and he wants you to have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to end with this quote. Is that cool? Okay, cool. I'm going to end with this quote. How do you know D.L. Moody? Have you know D.L. Moody? He said this, and I think it's spot on, guys. I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that's contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we're full of pride and conceit and ambition in the world, guess what? There's no room for the Spirit of God to reside. And so we have to be emptied before we can be filled. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to return as we close this morning. Raise your hand if you had fun. Yeah, come on. A little, you know, way more fun than announcements. Yeah. Plus, I think Sarah put me out of a job. I really do. I think Sarah's the next announcements person. You know, she's the next MC, right? So I got to ask you again. I have to ask you before we leave this morning. What are you full of? Because only you can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. Your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your spouse, your kids, they can't answer that for you. What are you full of? What are you full of? And a better question, what needs to be emptied? So that you can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He's active and He's changing lives everywhere you look. It takes faith to see it, and maybe sometimes it doesn't, because it's literally like God has changed you. And I want that for all of us. We want to be a Spirit-filled church, amen? And I hope that we can all start to rely on the Holy Spirit in ways we never thought. In ways that we need to start. Maybe you haven't been relying on the Holy Spirit in some areas that are really kind of tanking your life in some ways. And we can start today, right? It doesn't matter what happened. Today is a new day. And we can start again. We can start relying on the Holy Spirit right now. And so that's why I encourage you this morning. I hope this has added value to your life. I hope that it's added value to your soul. And as we close, maybe you're here this morning. You're like, Pastor Jesse, I don't have the Holy Spirit because I've never accepted Jesus. I've never said yes to Him. And maybe that's you this morning, where you're saying, you know what, but I want the Holy Spirit. I want Jesus. And if that's you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I want to pray for you. And if that's you, you know that that's you. And I'd like to pray with you. And I believe God's going to meet you right where you're at. Because I believe that our God is a big God. And He will meet you right where you're at. And so, as I end this morning, I just want to encourage you to, no matter what you're facing this morning, the Holy Spirit is able, and you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Spirit living inside of you if you've accepted Jesus, to go and face that circumstance or that situation or whatever, and face it with confidence and assurance. Can we stand this morning? Stretch. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for each and every person who said, yes, Jesus, I want to know you, and I want to go on this journey with you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would meet them right now, that you would meet them right where they're at, and you would comfort them and say to them that I love you. Welcome home. God, I just pray for each and every one of us as we go from this place, God, to walk out of here with confidence and assurance, knowing that your name is above every name, that we have the same Spirit living inside us that raised you from the dead, Jesus, so that we can have assurance in that. That the Holy Spirit's not only for us, but for our children, for our grandchildren, for those far from God, for all those who are called according to your name. Jesus, help us. We need your help in this thing called life. Guide us, direct us. And we want to give you praise and honor. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, if you need to be emptied this morning, if you need to empty some things, these altars are open, and we'd love to pray with you this morning. If you need prayer, there'll be someone who'll come pray with you. I hope that this day is great, and I hope that you have an amazing rest of your day and a great lunch. Amen. God bless you.